if we give up on it, we've given up the religion to the most puritanical and extreme, and we cannot do that. And I argue that a gender jihad, the struggle for women's rights, it's part of a wider peace jihad and struggle for peace, because when we win women's rights, we win a more tolerant Muslim world. You know, we don't want to just walk in through front doors and sit in the front rows. I mean, we want to really influence the way Islam is expressed in the world.
Asra Nomani, author of the book Standing Alone in Mecca, An American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam. She was talking with Melinda Tuhus of Wings. To hear this series again, visit the archives at www.wings.org. Our thanks to local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Okay, I guess we're on the air.
Well, that was we just went through for CITR listeners what could have been a disastrous situation here when prior to airtime on the show that we call Radio.
Radio.
thank very, you. Very good. the alarms in the sub building where CITR is located went off all the floors, and I went out to check as Long John was setting up the iPods, because we are iPodding tonight, or podcasting, and there was nobody around. The martial arts classes had all. I thought, you know, maybe we should, how it was in the school days when they would have mock fire drills.
Yeah.
Of course, in your day it was mock atomic bomb drills.
Duck,
right?
And cover.
Duck and cover.
That's
in your
right.
Little Kelowna school. There's little John. He couldn't get under the desk. Nonetheless, so it worried us, and we didn't know if we were going to get on the air or not, or what we should do, and should we panic. But did we panic?
No.
No, we didn't.
We didn't panic.
Because there's something that we know that few others here who are too, I'm one of the younger ones, but Long John's one of the older ones, and a lot of the younger people around here don't know that there is actually, and it's no surprise, there is a ghost in this building. There has been for a long time. It is not the same ghost that messes around with the clock tower, UBC clock
tower.
That's
a different ghost, yes.
A different ghost. This ghost here, and we heard about it a long time ago, will set off the fire alarm. Occasionally. This is a ghost who was refused induction into the Canadian Armed Forces during World War I. He was an early student here. And consequently, he changes the clocks here in this building so that on the second floor, no clock is the same. It's 1 o'clock down that way, and it's 4 o'clock. You didn't notice that?
Well, no, I have. All the clocks are different.
That's because there is a ghost in the house.
Oh, you're kidding.
And nothing to be afraid of. We wish, we'd like to relieve him and have him, join the other side. But he's stuck in between right here at CITR.
101.9.
Oh, look!
Oh, there's this thing in the window.
It's okay, John. It's all right. He's dead. Yet. And what he will also do is when you're wanting to play a particular track, it's been known.
He changes the track.
He changes the track. So we apologize for that.
Nimrod, I did have track one queued up there.
Queued up. Okay.
Yeah,
for the ghost, whoever you are, we wish you sleep. You need sleep, man.
In my house, when I lived alone. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do, after that. I mean, the ghost changed the track. We don't know
the name, but nonetheless, there is a ghost. That's a Band of Horses Cease to Begin, the second CD, with just one of them. It's just down to the one.
One horse?
One horse. No, there were two principals involved, and one of them, I can't remember names. It's just, I was thrown, as you were. We went through a tumultuous time there for a few moments. But we're back, and we're ready to take on the world on this Monday night of Radio. Is there a ghost in my house, apartment, condo, resounding? Yes, they're all around us. Have you ever seen one? Ever seen what you thought was a ghost or an apparition or anything?
I haven't actually seen, but I felt a ghost.
You felt?
I felt that there was a presence.
Ah, and where might this be, in Kelowna?
No, it was, I was powering down at the planetarium.
Oh, well, there's got to be somebody, something in there.
Oh, yeah, because that's an old Indian burial ground in that area there.
Well, that's Vanier Park, right?
Mm-hmm, that's
Oh, yeah, there are ghosts. And they're on West 13th Avenue up here in the Varsity area, there is a house, 13th near Sassamat. And you remember when my dad was managing that band Pull?
Right.
Gavin and Jason and Paul. Mm-hmm. And they had this house together, but they went over to another house, seriously. And one of them, I think it was Paul, and he hasn't recovered as yet. He was sitting in the basement of the house doing some work because he was kind of house sitting, right? And so he invited the rest of us over, and I didn't go because I was going to kindergarten back then. And so my dad went and the band went, and what Paul had seen, seriously, was at one point he looked, he felt kind of something going on, and he looked to the right out the door, from the little room downstairs in the basement, and he saw a pair of old man's legs running by. That's it.
Just the legs?
Just the legs, yeah. Yeah. And we've heard later on that a man fell down the stairs and died when he was... Oh, it goes back a long time, but on to happier things.
Mm.
It's dark, it's wet, it's cold. Soon there will be snow.
Oh, yes.
And, so it's definitely a real chill in the air. And just think, according to the Olympicalypse doomsday clock, Long John, we are 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, 3 days, and 27 minutes till the big party for the developers and those who can afford it will be over at last, and it can't come too soon.
You mean it'll be over?
Over by then.
Oh, boy, can't wait.
Go away.
Another ghost song. Well, it's about foggy mornings anyway. Here are the stars. They're just stars on Radio.
Stuck on the world, note that you left. I wait and stop for the moment. Your reckless heart, you know you got it. Into the past, I try to sort it.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
Well, yeah.
You seem to be in an animated state tonight. The sirens that set you off earlier on. Or did you set them off?
Maybe I set them off, you know. It could be. I'm kind of in a weird space today. But,
I know why. Because you heard the news. You read the sad, shocking news from your hometown. Big guy from Kelowna, Long John Tanner here, grew up in that beautiful little oasis by Lake, what is it? Lake Okanagan?
Oh, yes.
Right. Well, Kelowna is per capita, has the worst crime rate amongst any BC cities. And don't blame Ogopogo or the Bennetts, for that matter. Do you believe that? Have you been back? Is it really that bad? Have you been back there lately?
Yeah, I was there last year, earlier this year. Yeah.
See, what they need is something like what we have here, and that's Mayor Sammy's project, Civil City, taking hold, and the latest innovative move here into the cold season, the rainy season. Innovative move by Mayor Sam and Project Civil City is to offer the homeless umbrellas from TransLink's Lost and Found Center for a small fee. This will give them some sense of shelter in the coming downpours, and it's a nice one for your mayorship. Or should we thank Jeff Plant? It shows real humanity.
Thank you, Nimrod.
It's okay, John.
Son of Shane.
Hey, can I just tell you one thing? Everything is going to be all right, man.
Oh, good.
It's going to be cool. Everything is cool. It's going to be all right. You don't have to worry about a thing. Stop shaking and start rocking in the free world, doot.
He'll be here later if we have any luck. That, musically from In Our Bedroom After the War, that was Amy Milan Stars, something called Window Bird, little foggy morning song. And now a group that was in town just in the last week.
Oh,
yes.
Well, as a matter of fact, a group. Well, yeah, a group.
Person.
A group, but fronted by an amazing performer. She came, she played, she went bonkers on stage. And so did the crowd at the Commodore last week. We are, of course, referring to M.I.A.
Hey,
Jimmy's on M.I.A. Come back, Jimmy.
Jimmy, Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back?
Song about Jimmy. We'll send that out to Jimmy Wilson. We'll send that out to Jimmy Walker, one of Vancouver's finest musicians. Song written especially for him by M.I.A. Maya Commodore last week. Heard it was crazy. We like that. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. It is after 6 o'clock on Radio Radio. This program is made possible with a grant from the Vancouver Parks Board, who've been asked nicely to cut just under $1 million in services offered by 23 city community centers. The monies are needed for public relation campaigns like Project Civil City, so residents slash taxpayers who utilize the community centers, like my dad does, you know, must accept a reduction in services. That may mean bringing your own weights to the community center gyms. The future of the PEC deck may be in peril. However, that's something we'll deal with when we have to deal with it. Now, hear this, friends.
And if you look into a book, you might just say, I had fun just like Run, DMC and Jay.
Flash your Friends of CITR card and get discounts at Lucky's Comics, RX Comics, Magpie Magazine, People's Co-op Bookstore, and Spartacus Books. Support CITR and pick up your card today.
That's right. And now, shall we continue with the music? Not from his latest album, but from an earlier disc, actually. This is Rodney Graham singing about the season. It's not winter yet, folks. It's still autumn. Yes, indeed.
In a social situation. It was me. Let that cat out of the bag in a seafood restaurant known as the Bitter Dress. End of a very bad summer. How does this read to you so far? Tossing and turning. My autumn complaint. This is my autumn complaint. Now hear my autumn complaint. To you, dear diary, a friend to cherish and keep under lock and key, till a thought occurs to me once in a blue moon. This is
Your pal, Rodney.
That's my pal, Rodney. No, I never get a chance to talk to him or hear from him. He has no mode of communication to reach people.
Well, he does a lot of traveling, though, right?
He does, he's
an artist. He can travel.
I guess.
Be artist and see the world.
Rock is Hard is the title of that double disc LP.
It's vinyl.
It may be on a CD. You might want to check that. Released in 2003. And a fine picture of RCMP, our Queens Cowboys, on the front there with the seaplane and the megaphone.
Right, and they're not carrying any tasers there.
No, fortunately not. And I just heard on the news today that apparently the BC government has now announced they're going to have an official inquiry into the tasering death of Robert Zakansky at the airport. It will not only investigate the RCMP, but the Border Services Agency and YVR themselves, who all should be ashamed as to what happened. And this is getting such world attention now that even people are canceling their holiday plans to come to Vancouver because of that.
You think we have enough problems as it is. You know, there's just a litany of awful things here in Paradise Coast. We'll go into that later on because we are an upbeat, positive show. We got a request from May in Carisdale. Hi, May. Say hi to May, John.
Hi, May.
For a song from the new Eagles CD.
Oh.
But it hasn't arrived yet in Luke Meets Domain as yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Maine, she did say this is Rock 101. And we said, well, kind of.
I mean, sometimes you get risque like Bro Jake, but not quite that bad.
No. No, this isn't Rock 101. This is, instead,
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
So, May, hopefully Thurston Moore will suffice. He's better than the Eagles. You'll like this, I know. Listen. It's catchy.
The shape is in a trance.
Thurston. Yes, Thurston sang. He played The Shape is in a Trance.
That's off his solo CD that any self-respecting Sonic Youth fan should have. It's very good. It is good. It's real good. Do you like that?
Not bad.
It's called Trees Outside the Academy. And we at this time here would like to... He will be here soon?
He will, yes.
Okay, just a pre-warning that the our ufologist, Dr. Michael Stranick, will be here shortly. Put the kids to bed. They shouldn't hear this. But we acknowledge a very sad state of affairs. And it's always heartbreaking when a genuine talent and one who is possesses one of the greatest voices to come along in the 21st century. But she's a sorry mess, and it's a real shame. Her name is Amy Winehouse. A lot of press, and too much of it is focusing on her troubles, and there are big troubles. We hope that she will get through this, whatever. She does need rehab in the worst way. Her manager has called it quits, accusing the singer of ruining his health with her drug taking. Well, maybe he should take the drugs, and then... anyway, Tom Stone's the guy's name, and he left Amy after doctors reportedly found heroin in his system, which he passively inhaled on the tour bus. That sounds familiar. Stone was constantly bailing Amy out. He was watching Amy and husband get off their heads on drugs and wondering whether Amy was even going to get up on stage. It was a nightmare. And just recently, a Birmingham concert, you may have read, turned into a real fiasco for Winehouse and her fans. She earlier in the day visited Fielder Civil, that's her husband, and he's in trouble too. And she appeared on stage in Birmingham in a drunken state, which is the norm for her, unfortunately, in recent times. And she tearfully paid tribute to her husband, you know, broke down and started crying on stage. And when the crowd began booing, she screamed, "Let me tell you something. First of all, you're booing. If you're booing, you're a mug for buying a ticket. Second, to all the people booing, just wait until my husband gets out." Oh, Amy, get into rehab now. Stay around for a while and take those meds.
When I walk in your shoes, I understand a man confused. That must be, but I don't care. I feel the way your shoulders bend. I really empathize. Bloodshot eyes, and I know you so frustrated. Above we all become what we once hated. Besides, nobody can be that wise. I can't help you if you won't help yourself. In philosophy, so you think you cleverer than me,
so smart.
But I'm not just some drama queen, 'cause it's where you're at, not where you've been. So what do you expect from me? To hold your head,
can't help you if you won't help yourself. I can't help you. No, I can't help you if you don't help yourself. You won't help yourself. You can only get so much from someone else. I can't help you if you won't help yourself. You might be 25, but in my mind I see you at 16 years old most the time. And I'm just a child, and you full grown.
Take you back, to the tail end of the 60s, almost.
Yeah.
Amy, Help Yourself. This is off Frank, a CD that preceded the Rehab CD that's out now, and the big one that is putting her on top. Well, for the time being, sometimes helping yourself is difficult. We all need help sometimes. But all that substance abuse cries out. A troubled talent, big time. We hope that she gets it together sooner rather than later, because sometimes later is too late.
Heavy. It's never too late to hear about what's going on in the skies above planet Earth, because there are a lot of strange things happening. And over many years now, people have been seeing lights and shapes in the sky. Those shapes keep changing. They were originally saucer-shaped, and now they're triangular and every other shape you can imagine. And here's the expert on that. His name is Michael Strainick, and we're going to talk about unidentified flying objects.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Nimrod.
Good evening, Mr. Scary.
Well, yes. This is going to follow your ghost story nicely, because this is a case that happened not far from where you are right now.
Oh, no. Maybe that's why the alarms went off.
Could be.
Anticipating your call.
Yeah. But we shall start with the Larry King Show on Friday, I believe it was, the 9th.
I saw that. I saw part of that.
I saw the last half, and it wasn't the worst. It wasn't the best either.
Well, it's Larry King, you know.
Yeah. But the transcript is available for anybody that wants it on the CNN website. Just go there and Google it. I'd give you the link, but it's as long as Long John.
Oh, well.
And on Google Videos, they have either the Larry King Show or the press conference that just took place. And the press conference, which John knows more about than I do since I'm without computer at the moment, they have the transcript of that, and it's being prepared for posting to the net.
The subject matter being?
It was a press conference of, you know, well-known people who have seen things.
Okay.
Military and the like.
Cool.
Yeah, there was military officials representing countries like France, Chile, England, Belgium, Peru, Iran, and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who claim to have seen UFOs, and including pilots who have encountered UFOs in their aircraft. So that should be interesting when we get the results.
Right.
And the other one that's closer to us, Michael, how close is close?
Well, the deeper you get into this topic, the stranger it gets. And it's interesting to see what UFOs do and also what they don't do. Now, it's well known that they really like hanging around power lines, power stations, and nuclear facilities. I'm a baseball nut. We've got dozens of cases of things being reported by people at a baseball game, but I can't think of one single one that ever got reported from a football game, soccer game, any outdoor sport. And the other thing is they have a disturbing habit of hanging around elementary schools. Often, you know, 30, 40 kids will see something, and maybe three or four teachers as well. Well, we don't get them from any higher than elementary schools, certainly not universities, technical schools, that sort of thing, except this one. This would have been, about 95, and it also brings up the question, why do they monitor people like me who have been very public? But it started with a call from a woman who worked at security at UBC, and she had seen something quite astounding, and she phoned the airport and talked to the head air traffic controller. Now, I had a good relationship with the guy. I even had a private number I could call 24/7 with a notation, if this guy calls, listen to him. And she said was, where do I call to report a UFO? And got my number. She did not leave her name. She did not leave her phone number. And she was very intelligent and gave an excellent report, just what you'd expect from somebody who worked in security. And what she was doing, she was out on the ground somewhere at UBC, and she saw a triangular-shaped object that was partly below the trees and partly above, moving very, very, very slowly and completely silent. It moved on a little bit more to a clearing where there were no trees, and it came to a dead stop. And a few seconds later, the front, the point, began to tilt downward. Now, it's not moving, it's just tilting downward. And when it got to about a 45-degree angle, it started to go down, and it went down past her local horizon, or she couldn't see it. She stayed around a while and never saw anything after that. And she told me the whole story, and I told her that she should call back the next day. I wanted to get as much detail as possible, and then I would discuss it with some colleagues. And the next day was her day off, and she went into whatever office it was she was working out of to pick up her paycheck. And a phone call came in right while she was there, and this person on the phone, a male, said, "Hi, could I speak to the woman who saw the UFO last night?" Didn't say who. The woman who reported it said who saw it, and that's kind of a clue because we hear that sentence an awful lot. Well, she phoned me later on, and she was quite angry. She said, "I thought you weren't going to tell anybody because nobody knew about this except her and me. I had not discussed this with anyone." And I said, "That was absolutely not me. I wouldn't have known where to call." And, you know, we don't know who that was on the other end of the line and how they knew about this. Now, around that time, I was getting a lot of, you know, clicks and noise on the phone, which is typical because at that time I was all over the place, radio, TV, newspapers. I don't do that anymore. This is the only show I do. And we've learned to make a joke of it because since the 60s, they've been able to tap your phone or listen in or whatever you want to call it without ever touching the line. They just use a clamp device and it picks up the vibrations and like that. So when you're hearing these clicks on the phone, that's because they want you to know that they're listening in. And that was certainly the case then. So we just, you know, generally would make a joke I'd talk to a ufologist on the phone, and we'd go, oh, hi, by the way, hi, CSIS, hi, CIA, hi, DIA, hello, all you guys.
So can I just ask, when you're referring to they are the people who have a vested interest in people knowing or not knowing about said UFOs, right?
Yeah, who these people are, what the agency might be, is a good question. We haven't got a clue. We really don't. But somebody does this all the time. And if you show any sign, sometimes you even hear voices, you know, on the line. And if you show any paranoia whatsoever, oh, will they give you a good dose to be paranoid over? And I've got several stories about that we can get into some other time. But this was a very good report of a close-up sighting of a silent triangle before these things were being seen outside of Belgium or the Hudson Valley in New York. It was still kind of a new thing. Now the bloody things are everywhere, and we don't know, you know, which are terrestrial military secret and which are certainly not. But you can certainly say that the ones that are tracked on radar, Air Force can't catch them, and when people see them close up, they will completely change shape while you're watching them. Now that is not from around here.
Not of this world.
Not this world.
Okay. Well, that was a close encounter of the first kind, for sure.
Yeah.
And it is 30 years after the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. If you're a member of the Center for UFO Studies, the cover of the International UFO Reporter just deals with that subject about the movie, which Dr. J. Allen Hynek, of course, was involved in. But that's it for now.
Mommy!
Thank you, Michael Strainick, UFO experts, for bringing us that story about a UFO over UBC back in the mid-90s.
And I thank you very much.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks, Michael.
Right.
Ciao for now.
Ciao.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Please call Tokyo Police Club. Don't hang up. We'll get your call is important to us. That is from Smith, their latest EP. I would assume a full-length CD will be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, that was the Rack remix of Be Good.
The Rack remix?
Yeah, so they say.
All right.
All right.
Well, you know what's going to happen. It's 7:30 tonight, and that, of course, is Kara Sue with our friend Smart Alex.
Smart Alex, you, Kara Sue.
He's going to come in and say, the Tokyo Police Club, are they from, no, they're from Toronto. They have nothing to do with Tokyo, except in the name, because it's cool, right? You know, it's like T-shirts you see with have Tokyo on it, but they were purchased, you know, on Robson Street or something like that. It's 7 minutes before 7 o'clock. We only bring that up because it is the time. There's no other reason for mentioning it other than the fact that it is the time, and some people just need to have that time. Good news for goths, young and old. The Cure have rescheduled May 26th. GM Place. New CD will be out prior to the gig, and Robert Smith will have his shaggy hairstyle grown to touring length by then, which is the real reason that they canceled the tour initially. Expect a line of Robert Smith endorsed Cure inspired lipstick for guys in varying shades. I'm not joking. Disintegration Argenta is the one that will be deemed hot. You know that word, hot. Sadly, not out for Christmas, though. Which reminds us, shoplifters seeking the unique and unusual, about those toy tasers that the kids have been emailing Santa about. They want them. But the China-made toy tasers are still to be inspected for safety concerns. Understand that and don't expect that under your tree, kiddo. You ain't going to get one of those things. Otherwise, notes. We've got some notes here. But I think rather
music
than...
music, too.
We have music.
Yes.
Yeah, we actually do play some music here. Once in a while. We're going to play something right now. And this is from those cute little super furry animals. Ever been to Battersea? Come with us now. You're going to love it. Thank you.
Radio, radio.
Catchy. Yeah. Super Furry Animals, Battersea Odyssey from Hey Venus. Pure pop for now, people. I remember that button my dad had. It was from a Nick Lowe CD, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A couple minutes before 7 o'clock. For Radiohead fans and for Paul McCartney fans, it ain't going to happen. Sir Paul requested to do a duet with Tom York and was turned down. Mr. Radiohead is only comfortable working on his own music and that of his own band, reports the New Musical Express. However, Tom remembers very well and recoils at the memory of Ebony and Ivory, which was, we're trying to figure out whether it was Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder, Sir Paul and Stevie, or was it Sir Paul and Michael Jackson?
It doesn't really matter.
Well, no, it doesn't really matter.
I think it's bizarre and amazing. Is this the first person who's ever said no to Paul McCartney about doing a song with him? That's good for Tom, though. You know.
Yeah, but I think that John Lydon said no.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I think Amy Winehouse couldn't even say no. She didn't even know who was Paul. And so I it's going to end up. It's going to be Paul and Elton and the idiot from Maroon 5 and the other guy from they're interchangeable. Maroon 5 and Matchbox 20, right? You know which is which. Anyway,
good question.
But we digress. You have something more important there.
Well, just some more music here. And
that's more important.
You're tuned to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting live in stereo from the Student Union Building.
Haunted.
Buck 65. Okay, Mark B., you wanted to hear some local stuff, but this is Canadian. I hope you like Buck 65.
Do you remember the old ways of rocking it, laying the law down, a microphone, talking it, telling it, spelling it out, in block capitals, cardboard boxing, a rap battle in life? Dang, diggy, dang, a dang, a dang, diggy, diggy, dang, diggy, dang, a dang, a dang, diggy, 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 dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang, diggy, dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang, diggy, dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang. Border towns burning, churches with the roof off, searching for purchases we play, fighting goof off, streets ain't safe, television talking trash, traveling, horseback collecting scars, clocking cash, pocket changes, rocking rages, seeking the heat, straight muscling, hustling, freaking the beat, sharks circling, working bees, buzzing like cell phones, hell knows, yes, y'all and assholes and elbows, customized hot rod fire you should face, funny paper, shit, money can't buy a good taste, heads popping off, you're an orgasmatic, cock buzzing, supper time, you're having haddock, white rice and vegetables, wild stelly legible. People skills dubious, memory incredible. Lemons and rusty cages, dusty pages turning over. Calling shots, color commentary, earning clover. Tenfold, leaving women wondering, men fool. Struggling, sick in the head like Glenn Gould. Like dang, diggy, dang, a dang, a dang, diggy, diggy, dang, diggy, dang, a dang, a dang, diggy, 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 dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang, a dang, dang, a dang, dang, a diggy, diggy, dang. Boycott, don't believe the hype, shoot the umpire up in the air, the truth rang out like gunfire, guarantor, you need Lou Reed and Beefheart, push the button, burn the house down and restart, drum sends messages, touched by a golden finger, Midas, beside his head stuck up, the colon sphincter, 6 million ways, household made of glass, edge look you dead in your face, and say, take a last faceless, the vapors are odorless and tasteless, silly goose, too stupid to realize you're racist, motorcycle chain and disdain for the money clippers, strippers taking time off, wearing fuzzy bunny slippers, Las Vegas war zone, idiots and sundry dummies stumbling, drooling, the rumbling, a hungry tummy, zigzagging, crisscrossing, hell's down and heaven's up, animal noises, the sounds of engines revving up like...
Buck 65, well, that's called Dang, and it's from Buck's latest CD.
entitled Situation.
Oh, that other one in your hand, if you could pass that to me. Just want to be sure we don't.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, track number 5.
Track 5?
We're just setting something up, folks. That's okay. Don't mind us.
Yeah.
Have a coffee. Finish dessert. What's for dinner?
Okay, track 5. Rolling now.
Track 5. Okay, here we go. Well, the question begs, what quote is the movie quote of the year? There's always one every year, you know, it goes way back. There's always a catchphrase that sticks out. And from easily one of the best films out there, and that should be...
You talking to me?
No.
You talking to me?
Oh, nice one, John. That dates you. No, we're talking about the Coen brothers, the Coens' No Country for Old Men. And the line is, "You don't have to do this," which is utilized at least 3 or 4 times in the film. Woody Harrelson says, I'm not giving anything away, so if you haven't seen the film, it doesn't matter. Woody Harrelson says it. Kelly MacDonald, who plays Josh Brolin's wife in the film, says it. And I think, and even Anton Chigurh, played by Javier Bardem, the psycho, says it. And he says something to the effect, this is not the exact words, is, "Why, when I'm about to do something, do they everybody say, like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this."
It's that big gun in your hand.
As the potential victims plead for their lives to the psycho with the cattle prod gun and page boy haircut, you saw the film.
I did.
Truly scary character, Anton Chigurh, played by the magnificent Javier Bardem. He will be nominated, but he probably won't win because, well, we gave a serial killer an Academy Award, you know, years ago. Everybody remembers Hannibal, but this guy is something else. I don't know. I just somehow I feel that Hollywood will, you know, like they'll give him a token nomination, but it will not go to him. Best Actor of the Year will be Daniel Day-Lewis in a movie called There Will Be Blood, new one by Paul Thomas Anderson. More on that later on. But that is the word down the line. Writer's strike, week number 2. And for, I guess you're really missing 2.5 Men, John. Those reality shows, however, are taking over like never before. And they're bringing back tonight American Roulette, hosted by Ryan Seacrest. All barrels are loaded except one. This time around, however, and sure to push up the ratings, there will be real live ammo. You don't have to do this. You just throw that in anytime you want. And so, I don't know if you know this, but Simon Cowell of American Idol, speaking of Ryan Seacrest, is the wealthiest wanker on TV. The man has made $200 million, that's his worth, and yet this idiot dissed Bob Dylan as, quote, just another old folk singer. Coming soon, long-awaited new Todd Haynes Dylan flick called I'm Not There, various actors portraying Bob himself, but not Bob himself, but rather various stages and incarnations of the great man's career. Reviews are solid. After all, it is Todd Haynes. And the standout and closest to resembling Mr. Dylan is none other than the great Kate. Yes, sirree, Bob. Kate Blanchett pulls it off big time. I'm Not There. Starts this Friday. Soundtrack is done by over 40 artists. Is decent in parts, though Brian Ferry's tribute Dylan-esque aces them all. But Bri's not on the soundtrack, even though Todd Haynes credits Roxy Music for his young creative leanings as a young aspiring renegade filmmaker back in Southern California in the 70s. Still, if you want Dylan, nobody does Bob like Bob.
Kill me a son. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where you want this killing done? God said, all on Highway 61. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. They asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me, quick. and said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Now the fifth daughter on the 12th night told the first father that things weren't right. My complexion, she says, is much too white. He said, come here and step into the light. He says, you're right. Let me tell the second mother this has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. Now the roving gambler, he was very bored. World War. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it on Highway 61.
One of the lighter tracks off Highway 61 Revisited, certainly one of Zimmy's classics.
From 1965 here in Radio.
Oh, for the person that called in, just to get it straight, the movie I'm Not There starts on Friday, not sure exactly where, but reviews have been very, very good, as unusual as it is, but it is Todd Haynes. So, enough of that. You are listening to Radio, Long John Tanner, and me,
Junior Nimrod.
Nimrod.
Son of Shane, semi-legendary broadcaster.
Man who has a lot of T-shirts. Probably has more T-shirts than you. I can't believe his T-shirt collection. I saw a kid, by the way, who couldn't be more than about 12 years old wearing a Bob Dylan T-shirt. And I went up to him and I said, are they sold out of Nickelback down at the Rock Shop or what? And he said, no, Bob rocks, man. And it's true. Hey, if you got bucks and you love rock and you like T-shirts and collect them like Long John and my dad have for years, and now they've run out of space, November 30th, New York City, bring your checkbook as Christie Auctions, the big house, puts up for the big dollars several, many rare rock music memorabilia from the 70s in the form of what else? Rock T-shirts. Led Zeppelin 73 tour shirt, and you were there probably at the Agrodome in that year, $1,000 to $1,500. Lennon Yoko War is Over, $1,000 to $1,500. 75 Who tour T-shirt, $800 to $1,200. And here's a big ticket item, Stone's Goat's Head Soup promo sweater. Not sure if it's cashmere, $3,500 to $4,000. And the one that I'd like to get, Long John, if you're heading to New York and you want to get me a little early Christmas present, they have a Madchester Factory Records T-shirt, $1,000 to $1,500, all right? Christie's auction takes no responsibility for the condition of said items, and you have many T-shirts. Can I ask you if there was one, you know, the end of the world is coming and you can take one with you, what T-shirt would it be?
Oh, I have no idea. I've got too many. I can't think of what they are now.
Well, the one that I look at always is My Bloody Valentine, that real psychedelic one. Is it getting small? Is it getting kind of shrinking up a little bit, you know, after...
Yeah, it's deteriorating a little bit.
Okay, well, you can call...
I'll save it for you.
No, save it for my dad.
Oh, your dad, okay.
He has many coveted T-shirts, a rare Cocteau's, Roxy Siren, Reed Transformer, but he lost, and I'm sure you probably haven't heard the end of it from him, he lost his My Bloody Valentine long sleeve T-shirt, and he's still distraught about it, so if you have it in your heart... come this holiday time of year. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, here's the band, local band from Vancouver. They've been nominated for the Plug Awards in New York on February 8th for Best Indie Rock Album. Here they are, Vancouver's The New Pornographers, featuring my favorite singer, Dan Bajar.
To be me, those with you, sight unseen, shot through with meaning. I ran to the door, looked around, I fell to the floor to see what was down there.
The New Pornographers, and good luck, gang. Dan Bajar and the crew there in the Plug Awards in New York, February 8th, okay? This is Monday night here at CITR's Radio.
Soon for you.
Yeah, pretty close, creeping up on us here. And tomorrow night, CITR's Shindig Semifinals Night 2. The Petroleum Byproducts, Treacherous Machete, and JPNDRDs at the Railway Club tomorrow.
Excuse me, isn't that Machete? Or is it Machete?
It could be Machete. It's spelled M-A-C-H-E-T-E.
Machete.
Machete?
It's a weapon.
Yeah, I know.
You see them down on Granville Street all the time.
Right. Got it.
All right.
Railway Club tomorrow night, Shindig Semifinal 2.
Welcome to Paradise Cost, and what a place. The greatest place on earth, as Gordo would have it, all across the world. Potential visitors to 2010... are through mainstream media and the net getting, however, now a darker picture of Paradise Cost. Unaffordability growing, eroding middle class, growing poor, 70% of income going for rent. The sad downtown east side shocking a national, provincial, civic disgrace, a pox on all politicians and business. Gangs are proliferating, shootings are increasing. Granville Street, the entertainment district, is a bad joke with assholism and alcohol fueling stupidity. Taser crazy RCMP chumps unnecessarily kill a disoriented visitor at the VIA. Scene around the world, and then there's Robert Picton, but let's not go there. Why would anyone want to come here? I know we got mountains, and it's beautiful. Maybe Paradise Coast and the Olympics could alter their campaigns to woo visitors. Things kind of work in reverse sometimes. You'd be surprised. Come to Vancouver. See it all. Selling the dark underbelly of this otherwise beautiful location as an attraction for visitors seeking a holiday with real edge, fear, and danger. Yes. Scary.
Daughter's second wedding, I blacked out. They said it was just stress, but I don't think so.
I couldn't remember the 15 minutes before, or what had half Samoan girl from Darwin gave me a ride. It seems she let me the car in, but what it was she said, I couldn't say. Navigated didn't happen. I consulted my Egyptian grammar. On page 3333 was the hieroglyph for motorcycle hammer.
I combined this with a leatherback shell as it felt I was instructed. I Xeroxed it and posted it down by the bike office at the Oriental Institute. Maybe another world entity would see it and pass it on to those responsible.
That kind of thing must happen sometimes. Now that clearly didn't happen, I consulted my Egyptian grammar. On page 4428 was the hieroglyph for French canaver. I met on the midway someone challenged up, or whatever it was in. There are 17 sections of symbols in the orchestra, the overshowed it said. Your youth is lost and desolate now. See, you can't make smoke, only steam. Now the clearly didn't happen, I consulted my Egyptian grammar. On page 5566 was the hieroglyph for blue jay.
My Egyptian grammar. I thought when I first heard that, well, my Egyptian grandma. Fiery Furnaces, Widow City, their new one. Those wacky Friedbergers, Eleanor and Matthew. Eleanor hung around Vancouver for a little while. I was at the year old location, 4th and Cypress, which is now a Sally Ann, when it was the days of Red. You used to work there, and Fred. Mm-hmm. And that was C-Fun 1410, right?
That's 4th right, and Cypress. Yeah.
I was in there one time shopping and, you know, for looking for that elusive My Bloody Valentine t-shirt. And there she was, Eleanor, and she was going around with the singer from Franz Ferdinand. They were both there.
Wow.
Very pleasant. Very pleasant. Just wanted to drop a few names. You know, we don't do that very often. But
was she a mummy?
Was she what?
You said she was a grandma. Was she a mummy?
No. I'm just referring to the song titles. This is going to get a little confusing.
It's okay.
And I mean, you know, confusion arrives shortly in the form of Kara Sue.
Oh, yes.
And what treats will he bring us? You know, he's been promising to bring us, you know, like a bento box of all sorts of good things.
Oh, really?
I'll take tempura.
Food? Ooh.
But he never does. I give him
tea. How about dessert?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. You heard about Serendipity 3 on the Upper East Side of New York? They had that $25,000 dessert. Did you hear about that? The dessert? It's a sundae.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got all sorts of stuff on it, like 28 cocoa fused with 0.2 ounces of edible 23-karat gold and 18-karat gold bracelet and a carat of white diamonds and topped with whipped cream covered with more gold and a bunch of other stuff anyway.
Right.
Well, apparently, you know what happened? The health inspectors came to Serendipity 3 and found a live mouse droppings, in multiple places, flies, and dozens of live cockroaches.
That's not moose, that's a mouse.
When Shirin cuts my hair, it's like a love affair. Let those logs fall to the ground, or let them stay midair. I show her my passport, what I look like, but she just smiles and lets me know it's gonna be alright. Cheering, 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 cheering. Sitting in the rocking chair, she tells me stories from the war in Iraq, 'cause they were there. Shirin pulls my head to the side, but in the mirror I can see a tear in her. Reaches the government that you have a beauty salon in your own apartment. Thank you.
Reminds you a little bit of Brian Wilson?
Yeah, he's a very sweet voice.
No, I mean like the strong melody content.
I see, okay.
Sure. All right, Jens Lekman from Sweden, unashamedly romantic with a pretty pop sensibility. Song is called Shirin. And it is off a CD here in the library at CITR called Nightfalls Over Kortedala, which is just outside of Gothenburg. And yes, I've been there. And
okay,
it's a
time
nice
to
place.
Say goodbye.
Oh, already?
Mars.
We just got here.
Mars will be rising soon.
Mars.
Mars.
Mars needs guitars.
Yes, it does.
So thank you very much for joining us. Those who have, mind you, most of them have left probably in the last half hour. So Michael Strainick scares off a lot of our listeners. He just says some very strange things that, well, it's kind of like the email we got the other day. Is he for real? Yes, he is. Which means UFOs are real. Which means he's here. He yes. has arrived. He's and here early.
He is early.
He's going to be on time. We're going to be late, but he's going to be on time.
Okay.
Alex and Karasu is coming up. CITR, thank you. Good night.
Happy trails from Radio Radio.
Sayonara.
Nardwar, what are you doing here? Nardwar.
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 Take off that hat.
The Nardwar track won't queue up. It's. Do you want to put it's your first record on that you'll go on in time?
Deliberate. Yes. You, are, okay, you are hearing Radio Chaos.
Yes. We'll just scratch the evaporators. We were going to play Nardwar versus Courtney, but it won't queue up.
Can't do.
Something
can't
wrong
do.
With this thing here. So why don't I just play this promo, which you're supposed to be playing here, and that'll get us right into what's going on.
Not a problem.
Supposed to do a show. Supposed to do a showmo about a promo.
A promo show?
A promo. Like, what's this stupid thing on here?
What are you doing? What's he doing, man?
Playing with a computer.
Alex, help him out.
All right.